Tony, that is a tremendous song as we think about this morning. I surrender. Give it all to you. You know, if you think about the song this morning, if you're giving it all to him, that's the best place it could be. Message and song. Let's take our Bibles this morning before I get too carried away here. Let's all stand. We're going to turn over to Philippians chapter number 1. I want to say this morning, as I've thought about it and then I shared with the church Wednesday night, I thought about a book that ought to be a blessing to every Christian. The principles, the thought process of what Paul is emphasizing in the book of Philippians. I believe that if we had to pick a book, everyone Wednesday night gave a different one as to the one that they would think about that means a lot to them when they read it, or the context of it, or the things that it's emphasizing and the things that it's talking about. And I thought about over the course of the next few months, even the next few weeks that Pastor would be gone, I thought about going into a book of study that I believe that we as Christians need to hear about and to hear and have God speak to our hearts. So I chose the book of Philippians because I believe that every one of us as Christians, if we really be honest with ourselves this morning, one of the things that I believe that's missing in the Christian life is joy in the Christian life. You can say this morning that what are we talking about when we think about Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, and he's talking about he has the joy of the Lord in his heart, and he wants to convey this message to them this morning, or he can convey that message to them as he's writing back to them about a wonderful truth. I want to read the first six verses there as we did on Wednesday night, and I'll make some applications and some things I want to share this morning. I believe that God wants to encourage me, but I believe God is also want to encourage you this morning. Philippians chapter number 1, as we think about, it says, "And Paul and Timotheus, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishop and the deacons. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Father, thank you again for your truths. Thank you for your word. God, thank you for the privilege that we have this morning to be in a place that we can worship freely, Lord, because of this past history of this nation that we have. And even in just a few days, we'll be celebrating the independence that we have as a great nation. And God, how I pray that we with a nation, we get back to the truths that we were founded upon. And that was the truth of fearing God, putting him first, believing that we were here, established on the principles that we find in the God of heaven. Father, I pray that today that many that are gathered here under the sound of my voice, that there may be something said, there may be something that's needful in our lives this morning that would help us to understand the importance of the joy that we can have in the Christian life because of what you've done, because of what you want to do in our hearts and in our lives. May this truth ring out this morning in a special way as we gathered here in your house. There may be someone here that does not know Christ as Savior. They may not be 100% sure that heaven is their home. And how I pray this morning that they would not leave here without making that decision before you, before it's eternally too late. Bless now, I pray, fill me with your spirit, empty me of myself, that I may speak, thus saith the Lord, and we might leave here encouraged and the things of God. We ask these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. As we shared on Wednesday night, as we opened the book and we start talking about the things that Paul is writing about, and one of the things we did not do was define the word joy. I believe that, as I said earlier, that one of the things that's missing in the Christian life is the joy that God wants us to have, because he wants to fill us with his joy. Paul is writing about the joy that he has, even in spite of the things that are going on in his life. And I believe to us this morning as Christians that God wants us to have that same desire. But I want us to see some things this morning that I believe that Paul had in mind that gave him what he's sharing, but helped him to have what he wants us to have. And I believe what God wants us to have is joy. One of the things that the definition of joy that we find in Webster, it has the idea here of joy is the emotions evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by a prospect of possessing what one desires. The expression or the exhibit of such an emotion, a state of happiness, a source or a cause of delight is what joy really is. But we gave the acronym on Wednesday night. When we think about joy, it really, if you think about it in a Christian's life, in a Christian's perspective, Joy has the idea of Jesus, mm-hmm. others, and yourself. When we have it in that order and it gets out of that order, I believe we as Christians, we struggle because if we don't put God first, we're not going to have the joy that God wants us to have. Others is where our lives ought to be poured out into others, because the greatest blessing you can have as a Christian is to be involved in someone else's life. But when we live selfishly, we don't have the joy that God wants us to have. And I believe a lot of us as Christians struggle with that because we want to be happy. Happiness is based on circumstances. And when the circumstances change, we're not happy anymore. But when we realize that our happiness is not based on things, it's based on our relationship with God. And when our relationship is based on God, we can have joy because we know that everything that we're going through, it's because God is allowing it to happen. And I believe Paul came to that realization as he's writing to the church at Philippi. We looked at the four chapters that Paul is writing about. We talked about it Wednesday night. I don't want to go through the whole message of Wednesday night, but I believe that we need to understand some things that we talked about. First of all, when Paul's talking about in chapter 1, he had a single thought in his mind of putting God first, and he could have peace because he had a single mind that everything that happened to him was because of what God was doing in his life. So he could have joy in spite of the place that he was in and the circumstances that he was in. A lot of us lose focus because when the circumstances around us are not what we think they ought to be, we get downhearted, we get disappointed, we get discouraged, and we lose the joy that we ought to have, because if you're a child of God, you're where you are because God is allowing you to be where you are and what you're going through. So he wasn't upset about the place that he was in. The second chapter, I believe, that he's writing in reference to is because of people. We can have joy in spite of people. Most of us today, if we be honest with ourselves, we struggle because people cause us problems. Yes, sir. Amen?
Amen,
you may be causing some problems in other people's lives as well. But when our focus on unhappiness is because people cause us to lose our joy, Paul says, I'm going to have joy even in spite of people. Amen? Are y'all with me so far?
Amen.
Because when you think about it, people are going to always be a part of your life. And people can rob you of your joy because people are not going to always do what they want you want them to do. Miss Trudy is not going to always do what I want her to do. We struggle with that. No, just kidding. And I don't expect her to. When I think about Paul's writing as we go through here, let me stay on course because I get off and get on that rabbit trail. I don't want to do that this morning. But he has a joy in spite of the place that he was in. He could have joy in spite of the people that he was around. And Paul could have joy in spite of things. In chapter 3, he talked about those things that I counted as done. I count those things as lost. You know, one of the things about things is they don't fulfill their promises that they think that you think that you have. Because of things. Y'all with me this morning? How many things have disappointed you in life? How many promises of what you thought things would bring you and they fail you because they weren't what you thought they would be? We talked about it Wednesday night. Most of us, if you asked us this morning, we think that some would think that if I had just a little bit more money, I would be okay. How many people got money this morning and they still ain't happy?
Yeah.
You think about things when you think about a home. Most of us say we get a new house and we get all of these things. And then you sit down in the house and you look around. Well, you know what? It's pretty good. But if, you know what? After a while, that thing of having the house that you thought that would bring you happiness and satisfaction, you know what? It don't bring you everything that you thought you ought to have. That's just one of those things that you have. How about cars? I mean, we can have all of these things, but we're still not happy. We don't have the joy that God wants us to have. And one of the other things is that Paul writes in chapter 4, we can have joy in spite of problems. How many of y'all got problems this morning?
Oh, baby.
Everybody raised it. Everybody just, she got two hands up. She, give her three more. Somebody put their hands behind her. All of us got problems.
Yes,
Paul says we can have joy in spite of problems.
Yes,
if our focus is in the right place. Even in spite of problems. He's, you know, he's saying, that we ought not be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your request be made known unto God.
and give your troubles to him. And we can have joy in spite of even problems. How could Paul say that? Paul could say that because he says, I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. So nothing that happened in his life anymore would bother him to the point that it robbed him of his joy. Because he understood where he was. And I said Wednesday night, when we understand where we come from, where we are, what's going on now, to understand what's going to happen, we can have joy in our Christian life. I know I'm a country boy, come from the backwoods of North Carolina, and if it wasn't for the grace of God, I wouldn't be standing before you this morning. So I realize where I come from. I realize what I'm doing. I realize where I am. I realize where I'm going. God wants me to have joy in spite of problems. God wants me to have joy in spite of people. God wants me to have joy in spite of the place that I'm in. And God wants you to have the same thing. And Paul did, because he realized who he was in Jesus Christ. Most of us as Christians today don't experience that joy because we're caught up in the wrong things. How did all of this start? It's a learned process. You won't have it by just coming to church on Sunday morning. You won't have it even if you just come to church on Sunday night. You won't have it if you just come to Sunday school. I believe one of the foundations that gave Paul what he needed was he understood that everything hinges on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And everywhere that he went, even in spite of the circumstances that Paul would find himself in chapter 1, all of the things that he was going through, here he was, he's in prison. But yet he was writing this letter encouraging others not to get caught up on where I am and the circumstances of what I'm going through, but I count it joy that I'm serving God, even in spite of my circumstances. And he wanted them to understand that. And I want us to understand this morning, how did it all begin with Paul when you think about all of the things that he's trying to write to this church here at Philippi? And I can't even begin to describe to you the importance of what he saw. And he had this singleness of mind that no matter where he was, he took the privilege, he took the opportunity to share the gospel. You know, when you share the gospel with somebody and tell them about Jesus Christ, how many of you are worried about what's going on in your life when you share the truth about the word of God? But see, most of us as Christians, let me say it, and can't say it any kindly in this, most of us don't experience that because we're not sharing the gospel. We're not telling other people about Jesus Christ. So therefore, we're missing the first step of having joy in our Christian life because we get so caught up in everything that's going on in our lives, we forget about what we have in Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but if I had a baby this morning, I have two of them, and they're grown, but I have great memories of them. And Paul says, I thank God upon every remembrance of you, because what he remembered about them was the thing that motivated him to encourage them. And it was an encouragement to him when he thought about what was going on in his life. How many of y'all got somebody this morning that brings great joy in your life when you think back about them? I told Lori Ann and Patty, when I look at them this morning, just like many of you, I can have joy in my Christian life when I think about situations and circumstances and the things that have brought you into my life. But if I don't ever stop and think about those things, I get caught up in myself.
Yes, sir.
And I don't share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I get so wrapped up in myself that I don't even think about the things of God. I don't think about others. How many people need to hear the gospel? I can tell you many things that they bring great joy in my life because I know what they've gone through. I know the joy that they brought in my life when I first met them, even to today. I can say the same thing about Brother Neil. I can say the same thing about Bev. I can surely say the same thing about Miss Reva and Tony and Neek and Andrea because of what they have been in my life since I've been here. And I look at that woman sitting on that back seat back there. And I can have great joy because of who she is in my life. 37 years. And I knew her before I married her. And what joy I have when I think about all of the things that we have because of Christ. I can look at Kathy. I can look at Brother Neil. Not me. I want to call you Neil. Kelly. And I think about the joy that has been in my life because of Kelly. And you know what? With Kelly being here, we got a 90-year-old baby.
Praise the Lord.
That's been born in this church.
Praise the Lord, Pastor.
Praise the Lord. Folks, from 8 to 80, it don't matter. You can get born again.
Amen, Pastor.
And we ought to have joy.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Because of every baby that's born in the church. 90 years old. And if that don't bring goosebumps and joy in your heart, there's something wrong. But we won't have it if we're not focused on the gospel. Daniel, been there, 9 iron. Know all the things that he's gone through. Lily, Tamara. I can't help but think, this ain't even part of the message, folks. I done got off track already. But y'all all right, you'll be okay. I think about Layla. I remember going to the hospital. Brother White, why are you crying? Because it brings joy to my heart.
Amen.
I remember when we turned that baby over. She was blue. Yeah. Black and blue. Mm-hmm. All kind of things going on in her life. And a mom and dad who had just got saved. But they were trusting in the God of heaven. And ought to rejoice this morning. Because I was a part of that. But see, we don't know about those joys. We get so caught up in the circumstances of life that we forget the joy that comes in the Christian life when you know what God has done in the life of a saint or a Christian. That's what Paul rejoiced in. Because he knew he was where he was. Because God had placed him there. And it was because of the furtherance of the gospel, he was still witnessing and telling people about Jesus Christ. And it all started for him with a woman who was out by the seaside. They were just getting together. Didn't have no church in the town of Philippi. They went out to the river. And Paul, remember, going out there. And they were meeting together, and the Bible tells us about how Paul, in Acts chapter 16, he began to preach. And Lydia wanted to hear what Paul was saying. And maybe she didn't get saved right away, but Paul remembered sharing the gospel with her. And they got saved. She got saved. And the Bible says, and her whole household got saved as a result of Paul preaching the gospel. You know what? When the gospel is preached, it changes lives. How many remember when you got saved? What joy you had when you got saved. God didn't want you to just have the joy of your salvation, which you ought to rejoice in, but God wants you to tell somebody else about the joy that you had when you got saved. Most of us, when we got saved, we were so excited about it. There was nobody in the world that you could not have told what happened to you. But what happened after that? How many people have you told about that since you got saved? See, we can't have no joy when we ain't got no babies.
That's right, Pastor.
Paul had joy because the church at Philippi, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of them. He recognized what God had done in his life was allowing him to be a part of a church that was birthed, and the people that were in it were special to him because it was like having your own children. I don't know how many of y'all ever brought a baby from home and didn't love them till they left you. But it's the same way in the Christian life. You're being robbed of joy because you don't have no fruit. Paul had plenty to rejoice in. You know what? He goes on, and the worst thing that could happen to him, which was the best thing, he could lead them and go to heaven, and that wouldn't be hard to do either. But he knew it was better for them that he remained and encouraged them to go on. He recognized what God had given them. There's so much truth in these chapters, and I won't even begin to scratch the surface, but he recognized the joy that comes with the fruit that you can produce in your life when you allow God to be the single-mindedness that every one of us ought to have as Christian, because if he affects your life, you're going to affect other people's lives.
Right.
And others is where your life ought to be invested in. And that's where Paul had joy, because he recognized what he had. And it was because of what Jesus had did in his life. I don't know if I'm going to get back on course here, but I had to say that this morning, because he recognized that joy brought to him was because of his recognizing what he had. I want you to notice something that we could get caught up in, but Paul, and it says in Paul and Timothy, servants, you know, he was a slave to God. He wasn't saying who he was and talking about who he was. He recognized that he was only a servant of God. And if we realize this morning with humble hearts of realizing we're just servants of God, just like Paul, he wasn't exploiting himself. He says, Paul and Timothy, servants of God. He's talking to servants, but he's also talking to saints. Aren't you glad this morning that when you get saved, you're a servant, but you're also a saint? You know, unlike most people taught years ago in the Roman time, you was a saint when you died. But you're a saint when you get born again. You're a saint. And that's one of the greatest things you can have. The greatest privilege that you have this morning as a child of God is to recognize that you are a servant of the Most High God. You couldn't be in any better position when you think about being a servant. You ain't no better off than anybody. The greatest people in the town of Philippi was the saints that were children of God. Paul recognized that. So he was a servant. He was talking to the saints, but he's also talking to the structure that was there, the bishops and the deacons. They were important for what needed to go on in that church. God had placed the leadership there. So there was some structure there. You know, in every church, there needs to be a good bishop and some deacons. And the bishops that we're recognizing here are really the pastors of the church. And we got a tremendous and wonderful pastor who has given his life to the cause of Jesus Christ. And we ought not take it for granted. Amen? And you talk to most people that leave here are still trying to find a little shining light. You know what? You won't find a shining light Baptist Church. No matter where you go. You won't find one like that. But you know what you will find? The joy of the Lord everywhere you go. Because there ought to be something uniquely different about every church that you go in that's preaching the word of God. The gospel is the focal point. Jesus Christ is Savior. People are getting saved. We see servants serving God. We see saints growing. We see the structure that is there. And we can see the substance that make all of the difference. Look at verse number 2. It says, grace be unto you and peace from our God, God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace. Good morning, Grace.
Good morning.
What a beautiful name.
Yes, sir.
When you think about grace.
Yeah.
You know what? We don't even deserve the grace of God. But it's the source that we have in our lives as Christians. We have grace that is sufficient for every day. My grace is sufficient. Paul said he had this thorn in his side, but Paul realized that God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And you know what Paul did? He just went on and kept on serving God. And you don't hear no talk about him complaining about that thorn he had in his side. Because even when he got to the end of his life, I fought a good fight. I finished my course and I've kept my faith. But when we realize what we have in Jesus Christ, we ought to be able to go on too. And that's what they had, the sword. You know what? Grace only comes with being right, and salvation is by what? It's by grace. So if you're saved this morning, you have the grace of God. And if the grace of God is upon your life and you know Christ is your Savior, you have peace this morning with God. And it only comes, as Paul is addressing it here, through knowing God as Father, Jesus as Savior. The grace of God. What a tremendous thing when you recognize all that you have. Even in his introduction, Paul was so caring and tender to these people. He recognized what he had and who he was talking to. So we see, first of all, the recognition of this joy that he has. I'm going to try to stay on course with this outline I have. Amen. Y'all with me so far? He recognized it, but he recognized all of the things that were there, and then he remembered where it all started. And I kind of touched on it this morning. If you go back to the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 16, if you turn back there, I told y'all when we started this study, it ain't a matter of finishing up one going to another, because all of this stuff is good and you can't exhaust it. You know what? I could preach 5 or 6 messages from the first 2 verses. But I'm trying to make it real this morning to you. When you think about all that happened in the book of Acts, and when you go back there, he remembered how it all started. And I can't tell you how exciting it is when you think about your relationship with some of the people in the house of God where it all started. And I told Patty, and I told Lori this morning, they were just so fitting for the message this morning. Y'all know where I met this young girl? You know, when I shared the gospel with her, I met her. She was about knee high to a grasshopper. She was standing at the gate at her grandmother's house. And I walked up to this little bright eyed girl and started sharing the gospel with her. And she got saved. She got saved. I can have joy. Has she had some troubles in her life? Yes, I can honestly say that. Has she had some struggles in her life? Yes, she has. Has she made some good decisions? Yes, she has. Has she made some bad decisions? Yes, she has. But I still got joy. Because I am confident that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the what? The day of Jesus Christ. You see where I'm going with this? See, we got to look at those things that bring us joy. Miss Reva, she came. And that little girl that just sang that song this morning, I Surrender. I remember when she was about wet knee high to the other grasshopper. Amen. The 2 little grasshoppers were running around in there. Miss White and I had to get them and reel them in. But they bring me joy this morning. They bring me joy. Brother Hall, he's a bigger than a grasshopper. I want to talk about North Carolina. He said, Pastor White, get me saved. I'll never forget that. But see, that's the joy we can have. When we recognize and we can go back. And I done got off again. And Paul looked at what happened in chapter 20, 30, 16, where he met Lydia, and it was by the riverside, and she got saved. And then not only we see, he tells us we got to look at it this morning, because it's the word of God that's going to make a difference, because it was the gospel. It was by preaching that she got saved. Look at verse number 13 of chapter 16. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by riverside, and where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the woman which resorted thither, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. And she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul. It was preaching. I was telling Terrell this morning, when you're raised on something, you kind of get a little bit lacking for it. You know, when I got saved, it was because I heard some preaching. And after I got saved, I heard some preaching. And then I got growing a little bit, and I still hear some preaching. And then I got ordained, and I still want to do a little preaching. Because it's preaching. You know what you need to hear as a Christian? It's preaching. When you don't hear preaching, you know what happens? You go astray. Preaching will affect your life to get you saved. Preaching will affect your life to keep you on the right track. That's why preaching is so important. God says he blesses the foolishness of what? What? Y'all don't want to say it. But that's what God blesses, is the foolishness of what? Preaching. And not only we see the preaching that she heard, but notice the persecution that went on too. Well, we can't get by with just mentioning Lydia, but what about the demon-possessed woman? She followed. Look at the verse following there in verse 15. And when she was baptized, her whole household she brought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come unto my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass after we went in and prayed, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her master great gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which showed unto us the way of salvation. So it affected her life. She was possessed. She had a problem because she had a demon in her, but she was pardoned. Look at verse 18. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said unto the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. You know, when Jesus comes in, something got to go out. That demon left her, and Jesus took up residence, and he made a difference in her life. And because of the preaching, Paul said he can still rejoice. There came persecution. Look at the verses following. You know what? I don't know when the gospel is preached, there's going to be trouble. But that's okay. But notice the persecution in verse number 19. And when her master saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceeding trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrate rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Persecution. Persecution. You know, even as the Apostle Paul was being persecuted, he still was a witness. Let me say this morning, even though we're going through hard times, you know, we ought not stop witnessing and telling people about the Lord. It's those times that we get to be really witnesses, that they see that there's something different in you. And how many of us as Christians, when we're being persecuted, when we're going through some things, We want to have a pity party. Amen?
Amen.
We want the focus to be on what? On us. I like what Peter says, because I think sometimes as Christians, we forget. Peter says this, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which are to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." But we never get there. In 1 Peter chapter 5, chapter 4, verse 12, we never get there because we get caught up in ourselves. And we do think it's something strange. Why is this happening to me? You know what? Why not? Why not? Why not you? My grace is still sufficient for thee. He told us it's going to happen. Paul knew that he was going to be beaten, battered, bruised, accused. All of these things were going to happen to him because God already told him that it was going to happen. You and I ought not be any different because he's telling us the same thing this morning. But we get so caught up, we want to have our pity party. And nobody else knows the trouble I see. But you know what? He does. He does. Every life that is before me this morning, every one of y'all that are breathing this morning, I don't know what you're going through, but he does. His grace is sufficient. We can still have joy. Aren't you glad that no matter what happens in your life, that you're still saved? You're still on your way to heaven? He's preparing a place for you. That one day he's coming again. And I'm going to receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Why do I get so caught up in worrying about what's going on in this world? I told my wife yesterday, we're going to celebrate 37 years. There ain't nothing that I need. You ain't got to buy me nothing. Just be by my side and still love me. That's all I need. If you can give me that, that's all I need. Because the joy of the Lord is knowing that I'm yours and you're still mine. 37 years together. It's not about things. It's about our relationship. And our relationship is better because we came to know Christ as our Savior. We sit down at the same table. The pastor took the same Bible, showed us the same verses. We both bowed our heads at the same time, or maybe just a little different time-wise, but it was the same moment, and we both got saved. And it's made a difference in our life. That's the joy of the Lord. It was because of that. So Paul, he looks at it. It was the preaching that got Lydia saved. It was persecution that was brought on him because of Lydia and the girl that was possessed. But he still kept right on preaching the gospel. They threw him in jail. And here he is in jail, Paul and Silas. And they singing. The Bible says at midnight, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoner heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, and he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do not thyself no harm, for we are all here." And he called for a light, and he sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas,
and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?"
There's just something different about a Christian. Even when they're in prison, troubled, it probably smell, as we talked about Wednesday night, stink, clothes that they were battered and beaten in. I don't think they gave them their jacket like Mrs. Neal wearing because she cold. I don't think they gave them new clothes. They were still in them same stinking clothes that they got beat in. But when you can rejoice, it makes a difference in your life, and it'll make a difference in somebody else's life. And the jailer that would have killed himself wanted to know, what must I do to be saved? I believe he probably asked that question because there's something different about these two Christian men, because they have the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is their strength. The joy of the Lord ought to be your strength and my strength. Same God, same grace. We all got troubles, but you know what? We all ought to have joy, and we still ought to affect the lives of others. So when Paul says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of them," he's talking about those that were there. And that's where it all began. He's still rejoicing. And he could rejoice. And he wasn't having a pity party. He wasn't just thinking about himself. He was thinking about others. And if you as a Christian this morning, there ought to be some others in your life. How many people you know this morning that you've led to the Lord that you can rejoice in? Because that's part of the fruits of the Christian life. Because you're making a difference. And I don't know about you, I don't know many parents that have babies that still ain't excited about it no matter how old they get. I still love my girls. They still my babies. But you ought to have some spiritual babies that they ought to bring joy in your life even when they're struggling. Even when they're going through some things in their life, even when they're growing, there ought to be some excitement about what God is doing in their lives that bring you joy. But if you ain't got none, there ain't a whole lot of joy in that way. And see, that's how it began with Paul. And I believe that's where joy begins with us as Christians. We ought to ask God to help us to have some babies. And our focus can still be on Christ, no matter what we're going through. And we can still witness, because there's somebody out there, every time you step out the door, every time you go to work, every time you go to the grocery store, every time you go to the parts store, every time you go to the pet store, there's somebody that needs to be invited to church. There's somebody that needs to hear the gospel. There's somebody's life that God wants to use you to change. What about it this morning? But you know what? You can't give what you don't have. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I doubt very seriously that you could share it with somebody else. Because you can't tell them about the goodness of God if you don't know the God of the goodness. That's probably ain't good English, but it makes good sense. Amen?
Amen.
But I tell you what, when I got saved, I couldn't keep it to myself. And it ought to be the same joy that you had when you got saved and you try to tell everybody you knew. You ought to still be doing the same thing, tell everybody you know. Everybody you see, because don't assume anybody's saved, but all of them need to be saved. Everybody needs to be saved who ain't saved. And don't take it for granted, because they need to hear. And let me say this to you. How many of you will want to raise your kids and deny them the opportunity of hearing the gospel, then you ought to be in church. You know what? They just might hear what you hear when you came, if you know Christ. Because you ought to afford them every opportunity to hear the truth of the gospel. It ought to be your desire. Some of you got adult kids. You still ought to want to see them get saved. There's still a hell that God didn't create for us that love him. It's a heaven that he created for those that love him. And he's coming again. He's coming again. Pray for those. Pray that God will send somebody. If you don't go yourself. If you be faithful to witness to those that you have opportunity to witness to, God may send somebody in their circle of life to witness to them, because he wants to answer your prayer. You got babies that need to be in the house of God. You need to be there. Don't send them. You bring them. You got children that need to be in the house of God. I was telling Terrell this morning in our Sunday school class, whatever you raise them on, it might have the greatest effect on their lives in the days to come. I still like chicken. I still like pork chops. I still like collard greens. I still like corn on the cob. Y'all can go home now. I still love all of those things because that's what I was raised on. I still love those things. I still love preaching because when I got saved, that's what changed my life. And it's what changed these people's lives. And remembrance brings joy. It brought joy in Paul's life, even through the persecution. It was by preaching that was brought to remembrance of him. And then it was also a profession of faith because the jailer got saved. And we're going to close here. And the jailer got saved. What must I do to be saved? Look at verse 31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. So he goes from preaching, persecution, to profession. And I believe when Paul thought about that, it brought joy in his life. That's fourfold this morning, folks, when we think about it. I want to challenge you this morning. You know, the summer months are the easiest time for us, including myself, to get away from the things of God. But it ought to be a time that we'd be drawn to the things of God. Because there's even more things that can distract us away from God. And it's not just the summertime. But sometimes we can get to places and go and do things that get us away from God. Don't let this be the time of the year. We still need to witness. We still need to be in the house of the Lord somewhere. Because we need it. Preaching, teaching, witnessing. That's what brought Paul's joy. In spite of the place that he was in and the circumstances, ought not deteriorate us or deter us from keeping our focus was the gospel. Paul said the gospel. Don't think hard of what's happening to me, because even the things that happened to me, as he says, even down here a little farther, it was for the furtherance of the gospel, because he realized what was going on in his life. God wanted to use him, even in spite of all that was going on, God still wanted him to be a witness. And that brought him joy, that God would use him. And he saw people get saved, lives change, even when he was in prison. What kind of prison you in this morning? Don't let it shackle you. Don't let it shackle your life. Because that's not what God wants to do. It didn't in Paul's life. We all going to go through some things. We all got trouble. We all got problems. We all got a God that loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. And he's coming again. We ought to rejoice because of what he's doing, even in our lives. And we just scratched the surface this morning of this wonderful book and all of the truths that are there. Where's your joy at this morning? babies bring joy because you watch them grow up. Yeah, they have some problems. They have some struggles. But God still loves them. And so did he love me. Amen? And he loves you. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. Father, thank you again for today. God, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for a wonderful truth that the Apostle Paul has expressed here this morning to us. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Christ the Savior. You know, one of the greatest experiences that you can have in your life is to know the joy that Paul speaks of, the grace of God, unmerited favor, that you can have the peace of God. See, you can't have peace with God until you understand and receive the grace of God. And that's Jesus Christ. Heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. Is there someone here this morning that would say, in all honesty, Pastor White, I'm not 100% sure that if I die today, that I would go to heaven? Will you pray for me? Anyone here like that this morning? I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to try to embarrass you. That's not my place. That's not my duty. Is anyone here this morning? Raise their hand and I can pray for you. That you're not 100% sure that heaven is your home. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're in all honesty. Say, Pastor White, I've let circumstances rob me of my joy. And I want you to pray for me. I see a hand already going up. You raise your hand this morning. I've let circumstances. I see hands. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see the hand. You can put those down. Maybe you say circumstances have robbed me of my joy. Maybe not only the circumstances, but I've allowed people to rob me of my joy. Anybody raise their hand on that account? I see those hands, Lord, because people can do that. I see the hands. How about things, promises in life? They rob you too. Anybody want? I see that hand. I see that hand in the back. I see that hand. You put your hand down. And all of us can raise our hand. All of us have problems. Problems have robbed us of our joy. Anyone stick their hand up with that, need prayer for that this morning? I'm going to put my hand up as well this morning. We all have problems. And if we just be honest with ourselves, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. I see those hands. You can put those hands down. And we would just be honest with ourselves. Let's all stand at our feet. We're going to heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around. We're going to ask Natasha play Just As I Am. I believe, I hope she can find out real quick, Without One Plea, That Thou Blood Was Shed For Me. I'm going to ask you to play that hymn of invitation. Maybe God has spoken in your heart. I've seen hands this morning. And we're going to pray as we promised this morning, as our invitation song plays this morning. We're going to pray that God would work in our midst this morning. But I just want you to know this morning, as we pray, there's an old-fashioned altar. God wants to deal with your heart about whatever they need you have. But I'm going to be faithful and pray this morning. Lord, first of all, I pray for that one that may not have had the courage to raise their hand this morning about their soul salvation. That you would speak in their heart. And they would not leave you without making a decision for you. And for some judgment to them. Lord, I pray for those hands that went up this morning and say to Pastor White, I'd allow circumstances to rob me of my joy. Places that I've been in have robbed me of my joy. I've allowed people to rob me of my joy. I want to pray for that person this morning that will not let me rob us of our joy. Because the same God still loves that person. And when we pray for people, it's hard to not love that person. Prayer was often heard. Maybe you're here this morning and all of the things have brought you the joy that you thought they would because of the promises that they were. Lay those things aside. Even in spite of that, God still loves you. Maybe you're here this morning and all of us can attest to having problems in our lives. But you know, God wants us to cast all of our cares upon him because
there's so many people that need what we have. And maybe we can choose to do what we have. It begins somewhere. We think about souls that need Christ. The gospel was Paul's focus in chapter 1. He had to see somebody, no matter what happened to him. He praised God for the fulfillments of the gospel and how God used him in a special way. But I pray, God, through all that we're going through as individuals, collectively, as a church, that our focus will not be away from you. Jesus, others invest in our lives, and surely we can have the joy in all those things. It's not about us. Thank you again for meeting with us this morning. How I need to be encouraged and I pray that others have this understanding. Bless now, I pray. We ask all these things now in Jesus' name and for His sake.